Peter Dynan from Freedom Fitness. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, David, and good morning to your listeners.
You've become a superstar, mate.
I went
on your
the web page.
The web page. There's a good-looking fella sitting there in front of a microphone. Who's this?
Oh, they're very kind words. Yeah, Zena.
Stealing my thunder, Peter.
If only. Zena's done an excellent job there. She does all the web page and social media. It's a different era now, isn't it, social media? You know, before, you know, you're not hide away from it, but we're in the shadows, and then now you have to be on social media to get along. So, we're now on the interweb. Yes. And on the social media. So, it was on the website. She did a good job.
Yeah, you brought Zena in one day last week.
It was last Friday she came in, didn't she?
Last Friday, was it? Yeah. And you introduced me. And, do you know, I really did. I fell in love.
A lot of people say that. Zena's worked with us for quite a while now. And an international volleyballer. She's an international beach volleyballer and has been in that sports system for probably, you know, since she was 15. Mm. And I think she had an injury, so had to pull out of it. Yeah. But had a very, very successful career in beach volleyball. Yeah.
Could you tell her that any time she wants to take a photograph, she's welcome?
Yeah. She might be sitting in this seat next week. Yeah. This can be my last episode.
that is a good idea, isn't it? Goodbye, Peter. Hello. Okay. So you've got this happening, and you're getting questions from your members, etc.
Yeah. A lot of members actually tune into the radio, and they've been throwing around some questions. So I said, okay, we can do a Q&A this week, and a few of them have emailed in just questions. They've been, you know, they want answered, I guess. So we've got a list of questions we can go through.
Yeah, and Rob kicks it off. Should I train when I feel ill? You don't feel like training, but
no, it's the last thing you want to do. This ill, there's a big umbrella under ill. If you've got a fever, you know, you're shaking and the body's trying to repair, then no, you don't come to the gym. In fact, you just rest, you know, garlic, get yourself heated up, sweat it out, and, you know, support the body. But if you've got a common cold, head cold or a sore throat, you know, you can come down the gym. You don't have to break records and throw weights around. You can just get on the bike and get the temperature up and get the blood moving. Remember, the blood's all the nutrients. And you can definitely come if you've got a head cold.
That's probably good for you too, if you're not seriously ill.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's kind of funny that we get a lot of clients that come down who might be a bit overweight and unhealthy, and then they start eating well and training, and then they get sick. And they're like, I don't understand this. When I was unhealthy, I wasn't so sick, and now that I'm getting healthier, you know, good food and training, I'm getting sick. And what we explain to them is that the body detoxes all the time, 24 hours a day. Now, once you're sort of getting healthier and fitter, the body will say, okay, we're going to detox more because it can support it because you're healthier. So all those toxins that are stored in the body when the body was too ill to detox, it'll grab them. And it'll detox through the body.
And that makes you feel unwell at the time.
It'll put you into a fever. Yeah, it can make you sick. But it's actually, sometimes you can get a fever, it's healthy. It's the body completely detoxifying you because you're strong enough to be detoxified.
Yeah.
Where prior to that, if you're a little bit unhealthy, what will happen is the body will store all the toxins and say, we'll do this at a later date, and we'll either do it when you're healthier or we'll just shut you down and do it. You know, it's funny, you're saying training when you're ill. We had Rob say that, you know, I've got a bit of a cold and should I train? And we said, come and train. But we got another guy down there, Dom, 2 weeks ago, was feeling not too good, you know, and we said, you're looking okay. And he said, oh, my heart's a bit problematic. Mm. And he left the gym and later on that day, he checked himself to the doctor and they took him to the hospital and he had to have some stents put into his heart.
Oh, wow.
Now, funny, that was 2 weeks ago. He was back at the gym today.
Oh, really?
After 2 weeks of heart surgery. Oh, incredible, isn't it?
He's a nutter.
He very dedicated. Brought his Zena was there this morning and he brought his certificate from his doctor, said he can get on with it. So the doctor's saying, okay, get back on, start training. And it was his first training back after heart surgery 2 weeks ago.
Because you can build it up slowly. I mean, get on the bike and
best thing to do.
Walk on the travelator and
absolutely just get the blood moving and metabolism going and said that the oil is the blood is the oil of the body. Yeah. So get it moving around your body.
You've given me a list of questions from your members. John has asked how often you should change your workout. So I found over the years going to gym continuously until the old leg fell off. I just found that you progress through the program and you increase this and that and the other and just add another exercise perhaps as it comes along.
It's very what you're training for. So, for example, I guess if you're a powerlifter and all you Dean Lucan, and all you got to do is heavy squats and bench press, and then that's really all you have to train for. There's no point running and changing your exercises.
That's right.
You know, he was stuck in that shed down Port Lincoln, and you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning for tuna farming, he was squatting with amazing weights, 200 kilograms or something. And so yes, if you're specifically training for something, then you've got to stick to your program. But if you're general public and you just want to get fitter, stronger, healthier, you can change it every day. You can have a basic program, the strength, conditioning, fitness, but within that program, you want to vary it because the body will adapt and it also make it more interesting.
Yes, I found that. I mean, you set a program for me.
Yeah.
And I'll just diverge a little bit.
Increase it.
Let's go and try that. I haven't tried that one before.
And,
but you go through your basic program.
Yeah, definitely.
And adjust it as we go.
And adjust it and make it a little bit harder. It's like you see a bricklayer, and it's like a workout every day, 1,000 bricks.
Yes.
But the body doesn't change that much because the body's quite clever. It says, okay, tomorrow we're going to lay 800 bricks. So we know what we're going to do. We're not going to build up. But if you change that and make it heavier, the body will adapt. So it is quite important to change it. How often? Different workout every day.
Yeah. Vacuuming one day.
Yes. Different.
Different exercise.
Totally. Incidental exercise. It's so important. You're exercising and you're accomplishing something.
Daryl has inquired from your new IT picture, how much salt should we take? And we hear about the problems with too much salt. And I like to have a good shake over my dinner at night.
Yeah, it's... salt, they say it's the enemy, but, you know, every cell in our body has salt. Every cell, you know, and we need salt to survive. You know, it's part of our system. Now, it's funny that if you're injured, we've talked about this before, and they put a drip on you, they don't put a drip of water or sugar, they put a saline drip.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so you know, they're putting salt water back into the body. So it's a mineral. It's got calcium, magnesium in it. It's... You know, we need it for brain function and a lot of functions of our body. But the problem is, if we have too much salt, too much processed salt, which hasn't got those minerals in it, it will lead to an increased water retention. And then if we have increased water retention, that means we have increased blood. Increased blood retention means high blood pressure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if we have too much salt, it'll increase our water. The kidneys will say, hey, man, we need some water to dilute this.
Yeah.
It will hold on to the water. That creates more blood. It creates a higher blood pressure. Yeah. So, you know.
You said processed salt then. Now, there's different types of salt.
Absolutely. So if
what's the best?
Himalayan rock salt from the Himalayas. Yeah. In Nepal and Tibet. They excavate it from over there and they bring it along. It's a pink. It's a beautiful tasting salt. But to label the salt is almost wrong. It's a mineral. You know, we think of salt as that white processed sea salt, which is, you know, terrible for our system. And even if you put it on meat, it dissolves it.
Yeah.
Tastes good, though. But if you have, like, a good Himalayan rock salt, it will... it's full of minerals, full of calcium and magnesium, and the body will absorb it. So, especially in the hot weather, I mean, if you're training really hard and you're quite an athlete, you need to get the minerals back into your body.
Mm.
You know, so a bit of salt. So, to answer the question... Keep off the processed salt, you know, absolutely. If you're training hard and it's hot weather, you can put some of that Himalayan salt in water and drink it, but just like everything, just the right level, the equilibrium, you know.
Yeah.
You need water in life, but too much water will kill you. Same as salt. We absolutely need salt, but not too much.
Okay, but Himalayan.
Himalayan.
You can buy it in the health shop, then?
Yeah, every health shop, good health shop sells it. There's some really good ones. I think the Murray, they're taking that as well in the local.
Okay.
And it's actually salt it's a rock from the ground, you know, where it evaporates and they can scoop it off. So you do, Himalayan or the Murray rock salt, fantastic.
Lovely. And the final question from the Freedom Fitness member, Danny, blood sugar levels. Now, I get mine checked every 6 months or so to just make sure that I'm feeding myself properly. It's an important
thing. Really important. Yeah. So, I mean, now there's blood sugar level diets and it's come out. So, you know, it is what it says. It's the sugar in the blood. Now, some foods we have a low GI, glycemic index, or a high GI. Even potatoes now. I think you can get low GI potatoes and high GI potatoes. And basically that is how quick the food dissolves and turns into sugar and goes into the bloodstream. So a low GI food takes longer to dissolve and go into the bloodstream. So it's sort of drip feeding sugar into your blood, which is perfect. A high one, fairy floss, pure sugar, whatever, will go straight into the bloodstream. And that's the one that causes us trouble.
So we really should ban the Royal Show, shouldn't we, every year? Because The kids go down there and have
and they go crazy.
Fairy floss. Yeah.
If you're a kid, I mean, it's like the old story we said before. You know, when you're a kid and you're running around and you go back home and your mum gives you an apple and you eat the apple and all that sugar goes into the system. But it's okay because the pancreas releases some insulin. The insulin grabs that sugar, gives it to the muscles. The muscle says, great, we're going to run around again, kick a ball, and it's a perfect scenario. But as we get older and we're at the office, we sit down, we might have a donut, you know, mid-morning or something. Yes, we've done nothing. The body's half asleep anyway. All of a sudden, the pancreas says, hey, we've got this sugar overload. We're going to release some insulin. So the insulin comes out, grabs the sugar and goes to the muscles. But the muscles are like, hey, we don't need you because we're not doing any exercise, right? Yeah. So the muscle resists the insulin. So the insulin says, okay, we've got to go. And then it moves around and it gets stored as fat.
Mm.
So if you're not burning the sugar off, it's going to get stored as fat. But then all of a sudden, what happens then, once you've got enough insulin and sugar as fat, the fat says, we can't do this anymore. You know, resist it. And that's when you become insulin resistant.
Yeah.
So the muscle says no because you're sitting down there doing nothing. Your fat cells are so overloaded, they're actually saying no way. So then you become insulin resistant and that leads to diabetes.
Yeah.
So it's important not to eat sugary food unless you're exercising. I mean, you see the guys, I remember watching the Tour de France once, and there's a guy at the back and he's drinking the can of Coke. Yeah. And I'm like, how come? But of course, he's burning it off.
Yep.
You know, but if you drink that can of Coke and sit down, you're not going to burn it and you're going to store it as fat. And worse, you're going to become insulin resistant.
So blood sugar levels are important. As I said, I do mine every 6 months, I think, with my GP, just to keep a check.
Choose your foods.
Well.
And say if you do have, I mean, a perfect example, if you do have fruit and you're going to sit down, have it with some yogurt. So it will slow the release of the sugar into the system and it will just slow that blood sugar levels.
Or go and mow the lawn.
Yes, or go mow the lawn or do some work or a variety of options, but please don't sit down.
Yeah. Peter, I'd love to see you again and congratulations on your website.
Thank you, David.
And it's nice to open the doors to other members of Freedom Fitness who have a lot of questions, no doubt, and to our listening public, of course. Go on the website and you'll see the good looking fellow over there and, who will be replaced next fortnight today
with Zena.
Peter, thank you, mate. Freedom Fitness in Flinders Street, right next to the German Club, and we'll catch up in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, David.
It's